Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
because some people think it's Jim, we know you don't, you're not really into politics. No, no. Everything is political. In fact, one of the statements you that said that we must even politicize the gun. Fashion, clothes, music, everything is political. The dynamic in electoral politics is a different dynamic. And myself, as well as many others, in any case, we are, I can see, like, it's a disengagement for a number of valid reasons. Because a lot of times we're not, you know, issues that impact our community, you know, are not acknowledged, you know. And we're like, you know, we're spoken down, we're spoken to, and it's like, you know, it's come out like, a lot of times it's a race and a class arrogance to tell us, you know, that we have this civil duty to come out. And then you say, well, I never seen these different people, you know, say, talk to us before, while all of a sudden now, you know, when they talk to us, it's not even, you can see that they are incapable of even, you know, relating to us. You know, so they'll come through, you know, as opposed to other communities, they're talking about different tangible issues that impact, you know what I'm saying, their community, whether it be schools, tax increment funds, jobs, you know. But that tells us to the black community in particular, entertainers are brought in, you know what I'm saying, the gospel music, you know, rap music, what have you, you know, and they're brought in, like, you know what I'm saying, and say, well, this is how, you know, I know you, you know what I'm saying? And it's insulting, it's, you know what I'm saying? So with this time period right now, and you heard me, the different cases, you know, he was trying to, like, reactionary times and it's both revolutionary times. And, you know, and I recall some years back when they had the Voted Down campaign, and people this from different hip hop artists was, you know, pushing the whole line of Voted Down. And our position was that what are these respective individuals, what is their position in regards to reparations, in regards to political prisoners, in regards to a campaign we've been pushing for quite some time called the AAT bill, the African Anti-Terrorism Bill, the terrorism that we have, the people that we're subjected to. And I know that sounds far-fetched. You say, well, you know, they're not going to really just have you say, well, they just can't outright say they're addressing black people issues. And what you hear other communities, you know, I mean, it's to say that they can acknowledge that. But I want you all, you know what I'm saying, you know, to call in your thoughts where you're at, the state of the game. And we're told also, like, a lot of times people say, well, why people don't vote, and it really don't come out to vote. And it's a message sent a lot of times, like, you go through any respective, you know, colonized communities, you know, talking about South Central Chicago, what have you, and you see the extra presence of police, and it was like a sign of, like, okay, people say, why are the police out now? And so it's election time. It's kind of like a message to you, like, go in the house, you know what I'm saying, it's hot out here. And even some people have even correlated to today with a lot of the different arrests that's been happening with different, you know what I'm saying, individuals in the hip-hop arena. Some people saying, well, just hip music, it's an attack on hip-hop or rap, the rap music, whatever, or just even doing, you know what I'm saying, a political connection with the timing, with the next coming up, so on you know your thoughts. And, like, you know, just even in some cases, many cases, when there's a battle of imperialism, you know, case examples can be like World War One, World War Two, where, you know, the Unions and the Confederacy, the Feudalists, Democrats and Republicans, well, they engaged in battle, you're able to catch out certain seeds of time and say, okay, you know, so what's your position about this? You know, so how this dynamic impacts our respective community. So with that being said, the indigenous community, Native people, Native community, the Trail of Truth, and they're still in D.C. right now, and people say, what made Biden, U.S. President Biden, all of a sudden this even acknowledge the indigenous community? And I was talking how they just came through, he made stops at the Hampton House and other places too. And they talk about issues such as federal recognition for the more weakened tribe, also case of political prisoner, long held political prisoner, Leonard Peltier. And so just even just to seize the time, just, you know, to get these matters put forth. And, you know, we know definitely that the question of the political prisoners is something that, you know, that definitely ties into, you know, any agenda with our people. And I heard a young lady yesterday at the courthouse, at the press conference. I don't know if she's a relative or spokesperson, but case of young thug in Atlanta who was subsequently released. And like they said, the longest trial in the state of Georgia's history. And his father was on there speaking at the end. And actually, you go back in our cast, his father's been a guest on Freedom on Radio several times. Yeah, young thug's father several times. Been a guest on here. And he was, saying he was talking about the whole the cap he had on, and I guess the opponent who's running for district attorney in Atlanta, and the young lady said something about, you know, this is something. She said, I haven't heard this. She said, they told the contradiction within the case, and everyone was talking about this, the blatant contradiction. Like, some of you say it was comical, funny. YSL, Woody, you know what I'm saying? But people making jokes about the courtroom dynamics that was happening at the courtroom. But really, it's sad. Cause, I mean, it's what they call, people are getting what they call football numbers. It's, I mean, serious time and repercussions, you know what I'm saying? And also, even after him, you know, there's other people who are still going to court. And even contradiction, like, you know, people who you can clearly see have issues with mental illness, sit on the stand. And you go back through cases in Cook County, Chicago alone, and you go and say, how is this person being used that, you know, this one locked up? These are the type of, these are some of the type of contradictions that should be, you know what I'm saying, addressed in a real objective way. Because like we talk about, like, when the Black Panther Party platform, one of the demands was a jury of our own peers. And that's something, you know, you're talking about in courts. You know, comedian genius Richard Pryor say, black people go down to court, I'm looking for justice, all we find is just us. And, you know, we make comedy out of certain things, like I say, but you see these people, you see the snippets all on Instagram, people in the courtroom, they ask some questions, they laugh. The judge, even the previous judge in the case, that those attorney had asked, brought a contradiction, legal contradiction, say, did you, I forgot this legal term, say, did you have an actual meeting with the prosecutors without our presence there? And the judge in his arrogance said, who told you about that? And the lawyer said, no, that's not the question. Did you have a meeting with this witness, you know what I'm saying, and the prosecutor without our presence there? And so they pushed, and the judge was like, no, we hold you in contempt because you didn't tell me who told you that. And typical tactic I tell what the state does, we call it the sidetracking of the slave. When certain people, like when Rodney King was beaten, the question narrative was came to the point where, was he speeding or not? You have people like, you know, Mr. Larry Hoover and other the sidetracking becomes where, are these individuals, are they gang leaders or something, as opposed to the actual contradiction with the case. So that's what we, you know, call that sidetracking slave. With that being said, y'all, we're live and direct, y'all. We rolling. So whatever candidate you know, whatever potential candidate you know, I want to encourage them to call in. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put this out there officially, you know what I'm saying? Mr. Chairman, you know, by your other president, don't call in. But whatever, it's serving the people and serving of history. We put it out there. So, you know what I'm saying? Because they say this is so tight, this upcoming election. And this is so tight that minute by minute, it's ever developing, and they're reaching the different audiences that they wouldn't have reached. So if they get to that point, they might just say, hold on, if they get a call out, to Freedom on Radio. But just for the record, they never hear what the high community say, bring forward what do we want. There's also that's the national election we're talking about regarding U.S. president. However, since Chicago, there are some new, relatively groundbreaking, and I'm even learning more and more as we go. There are some offices and positions in regards to this dynamic about the school board. So that's something what you're saying, the school board. So you know any candidates run for that, or your thoughts about the school board, and you know. And the role of education, you know, in our case, in our community's case, after the miseducation, That I mean, this system thinks long range, the impact and the policies of it. You know, how they, what communities allocated certain resources, all of that. You know, and what is the school board? What's their city representation for? You know, they say people, millionaires from all over the country, are bringing their funding money. You know, say regardless of the school board. What are some of the main issues? They say all politics is local. You know, the hot topics, the migration issue, the inflation, you know. Some of my people not talking about, you know, some of U.S. international, acts of U.S. aggression. There was a time during the 60s where, you know, said people, there was a conscious level, it was acknowledged what was going on in Vietnam, so on and so forth. So that's what this people not talking about. Just today, they say, I forget how many launches of fire launches was from Israel on Iran today. And so, because I tell you, you hear about World War One, World War Two, or even what they call a forgotten war during Korea in the 1950s. And I got people talk about it later on. But the acts, U.S. imperialism is like bad luggage. Once it's there, they ain't leaving it to places that you already did before, the Philippines and so forth. These, that, you know, so it's still uprise, it's still the dynamics and wars and battles going on. So you want to, again, call in, what's people's position? That's, you know, like, even educational process, like civic class, you know what I'm saying? What's going on in the Torah? How does this impact you? How does, you know what I'm saying? How does it trigger down? Because a lot of times you say, well, I'm just going to live in my bubble. I don't want to know what's going on, so on and so forth. And we feel like we're powerless. A lot of times, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the politicians, you know what I'm saying, we'll see them at a parade. They'll come through, you know, do the Nixon wave at us, you know what I'm saying, wave their hand, and okay, they acknowledge us, you know. But, man, as opposed to, wait a minute, this is the TIFF fund, this is what you have to set in school, this the curriculum, you know what I'm saying, I've told people to say they run for school board, and they ask us, well, we have an actual curriculum. It came out of the movie Judas and Black Messiah and Happy Now. So then we can text it to you, email it to you. We actually have that curriculum, and you know, so we want to what's that position on that. And so our thing about times is not to let them always corner us and say, okay, this not just a guilt trip around on you. What's your position? No, we're going to turn to what's your position on, you know, again, we said African anti-terrorism bill, political prisoners, reparations. Right. Put the table. You know, some people, you know, a lot of times it's like people's company. A lot of times people eat us with a guilt trip. Well, you don't tell your politicians what you want. Let the people who get paid. So we don't, the Black Panther Party, we don't even get no stipend to serve people. It's our job to serve the people, tie our ear to the ground, and say, wait a minute, there needs to be a community refrigerator that have in the house, you know what I'm saying, in the food desert. Wait a minute, you know what I'm saying? We need to have a triple C, the Children Community Club. So you serve the people. When you say, you know what I'm saying, it's certain things, you know, so you come in, you say, man, you should. In fact, I just raised criticism with our comrades. I just left the house and I was just not. And you say, man, what's going on, Chairman? You tell me. Why is a frame, a picture frame of Chairman Fred in front of the house? The plexiglass is off. I say, man, we need that for 2-3 weeks, man. The rain, everything hit the chairman. Oh, man, anybody calls? What do you mean anybody called you, comrade? I say, you should do this. This is your job. You know, so you pull up, that man, the chairman, that should be addressed. You know, it's something we're supposed to know. Come down there, should take the, you see garbage from the house now. That's our job, to keep the refrigerator, clean it out. That's, you know, certainly, you know what I'm saying? You come out and say, well, we told to the people. You know what I'm saying? It's something that you think we should have in there as servants of the people. You know, so we have to have our ear to the ground. You know what I'm saying? To say, okay, how can we serve you better? So, you know, we don't get no stipend for that. So elected officials, you know what I'm saying? This should be people who can realize, you know, your children don't know nothing about, you know what I'm saying, nothing about Malcolm X or whatever, you know what I'm saying? This is, what about this thought? This area here, I rode through here, this area, these vacant lots, you know what I'm saying? What about this? You know, what are your ideas? How can we assist in making that happen? You know what I'm saying? So that's the deal. So again, y'all come on in and club in with us at 929-477-3785 or 708-223-8953. Got a brother here who I just met. Stop being that too. I said, come on, sit in with us. So, as you introduce yourself, brother, you know what I'm saying? And you feel free to t- tap in. Peace and love, freedom, all you women. So y'all know I'm supposed to be in Oakland October 15th. I missed it, but forgive me. Don't charge it to my heart. Yes, indeed. So now, okay, you're feeling my love. So, brother, again, welcome.
You thank you so much. Yes, sir.
Who you are?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
My name is, I have several names, known as Professor Arthur Amaker, also known as Baba Ade, also known as Baba Maleke. Most times, community people call me Ade. I'm currently teaching African American studies at several institutions, both on the South and the West sides. I'm also a learning and studying member of the Ifa Orisha Yoruba community in Chicago. So I'm more than overwhelmed and pleased to be here with you today.
Yeah.
And to talk about anything you want to talk about. Politics is right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
My father, Norman Amaker, was a law professor, civil rights attorney, worked with Thurgood Marshall, and then HPD with the Defense Fund, and became the first black law professor here in Chicago at LL University. So I also come from a legacy of civil rights activism. It's very interesting that right now we're in an interesting time, because as you said, Chairman, we are in a reactionary period. This is not a revolutionary period. And I think it's reflected in this election in the fact that these candidates are tied. If it was a revolutionary period, definitely the left-leaning one would be, it would be a wipeout. But obviously it's not. So I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Democratic Party has probably shifted more to the right in recent years and really has taken the black vote for granted. And like you said before, there needs to be a quid pro quo relationship in our politics. In other words, if we're going to vote for you, what are you going to do for us? What particular program that we have on the plate are you going to support? And I think right now they have yet to really kind of say that. I know Kamala Harris has reached out to black men in particular, but what I'm seeing so far is kind of a more of an empty rhetoric. Dr. T.S.I. Johnson, who has a platform on YouTube, talks about the black male agenda. And I think he's even presented this to the Democrats. However, I think they've been ignoring it.
What is it again? What,
the black male agenda. Dr. T.S.I. Johnson,
okay.
He has a podcast on YouTube. You can look him up there. And it's called The Onyx Report. And he talks about the black male agenda. And it seems as if the black community in general is being taken for granted by the Democratic Party. The Republican Party also has its issues, of course. Unfortunately, Trump, I believe, has a lot of people around him who can be dangerous, particularly when we talk about the Supreme Court. There was a very strategic move that Trump made when he tried to go ahead and put conservative judges on the Supreme Court, because, as you know, those are lifetime appointments. So if you
Once you're the Supreme Court.
That's it. So if you stack the Supreme Court with conservative judges, then anything that we're trying to do in terms of progressive policies can be just cut down. Right? Now, one thing that the Biden administration talks about, and Kamala Harris do talk about, is this idea of reforming the Supreme Court and reforming the term limits, which I think is good. Now, will that pass? I don't know. But there are some things the Democrats are saying I believe that are good. However, she has undeniably dropped the ball on the border crisis and also on inflation. And those are two things that are hitting black folks in their pocket, both from competition from overseas as well as this inflation. So that's what a lot of black men are saying. Look, you know, is that the best candidate for me to vote for? You know, as you know, throughout history, some of the folks who did not talk about black folks in the biggest light gave us the most stuff. You talk about LBJ, for example, after Kennedy was assassinated, passed the Civil Rights Bill, Voting Rights Act, passed by LBJ, right, who essentially was on file for using the N-word, But, you know, he passed the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, right? Abraham Lincoln, Emancipation Proclamation, which is mostly a political move. It wasn't that he was an abolitionist like that. He was trying to make sure that he added some type of chaos in the southern states. But we got that passed, Emancipation Proclamation. Now, he wasn't known for loving black folks. Matter of fact, told us that we should be shipped off to Haiti somewhere, shipped off out of the country. He didn't think that black people could really be integrated into the society. Mm-hmm. So when you look at things from a political, mathematical level.
It was history of the whole proposition we left in Liberia.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look at things from a mathematical level, scientific, right, mm-hmm. without the emotionalism,
yeah.
you'll find that, you know, sometimes some of the biggest rights that have gotten from folk who don't look like you or like you in particular, don't even want to live around you.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. It's about respect.
Yeah.
You know, we use that whole quote from Francis, where he says, you know, don't worry about folk liking you. Do they respect you?
Yeah.
You know, so I think we need to start being strategic and look at our politics from a power position, mm-hmm. right? You don't just get our vote because you throw a wrapper in our face.
Yeah.
You don't get our vote because you come to a church. Yeah. You get our vote because we have this agenda and you support A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, we'll take it to someone else.
Yeah.
It's business, not personal.
Yeah.
It's business, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we need to think about.
Yeah.
From a spiritual standpoint, you know, in E5 we talk a lot about character. You know, and one of the things that we say in traditional Yoruba religion and Yoruba thought is this idea called Iwa.
Mm-hmm.
Iwa is Yoruba for character. Iwa lesson means character is what I worship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of your character basically being the thing that gives you all blessings or takes away from your blessings, right,
mm-hmm.
when you are not living up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the philosophy of life because Iwa also means existence
mm-hmm.
in Yoruba, right? So it has two meanings. Of course, it's existence,
yeah.
but also character.
Yeah.
So ultimately, your whole existence is based on how you behave around people, how you treat yourself, how you treat the environment, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we have to picture ourselves as we are going into the booths, what candidate exhibits the best character that's really going to transform our existence, right?
Yeah.
Now, both of them don't have perfect character,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Both of them have on record of doing things that I consider to be kind of shady.
Yeah.
However, we have to think to ourselves, okay, what candidate really will be able to move my community forward and move my particular agenda items forward, not just our nation,
mm-hmm.
get past this whole generalization
thing. Yeah.
What do you specifically need in your neighborhood
mm.
that you feel this platform gives you?
Mm.
Is it lower prices? Is it tax breaks? What specifically to look at your life
yes.
and particularly analyze what candidate? And if it's not both of them, then vote down ballot.
Mm.
You know, because at the end of the day, the local politicians affect you more than the national in the larger.
So you see vote down ballot?
Yeah, like, you know, basically, you know, some people just not go vote for president.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, vote for local people.
Yeah.
Right? Which is an option.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't believe in this idea, which is a reactionary view,
mm-hmm.
that you should just vote willy-nilly, because if it's anti-revolutionary, if it's anti-progressive, don't vote for it.
Yeah.
Right? We had this whole, in the 1970s, the Gary Convention. We had a lot of people basically forming this black political party, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had Baraka there. You had, of course, Jesse there. You had all these black figures there, right, in Gary, Indiana, because at that time, that was one of the first cities to have a black mayor.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So it ends up that there was this idea of how can we get the black power concept inside of our politics?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, since the Gary Convention in the 1970s, the black power concept has been more co-opted by reactionary politics. So now we have black faces in high places, but they're servants of imperialism. They're servants of corporate interests. It's at the federal level as well as the national and local level.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful with this. And I think that America will start to wake up if we say, look, we're not just going to vote you because you're black.
Mm-hmm.
Identity politics can be taken so far.
Yeah.
Now, identity politics is good to use in the chessboard.
You say identity politics.
Identity politics, the idea that, you know, you're going to vote for someone who is of your same ethnicity or gender
mm-hmm.
because you want representation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very simple definition
yeah.
of it, right?
Yeah.
And it is a useful tool
yeah.
in this game of power.
Mm-hmm.
However, it has its limits.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, if you're voting just based on identity and this kind of idea of I want representation, this feeling,
yes.
It can be like a Trojan horse where they're playing a game on you,
yes.
And next thing you know, they got you in the same place you are, except it's in blackface. I'm not one to say vote for whoever.
Yes.
I'm quite frankly, in between. I mean, both of them, this is not an exciting time. And, I work with kids. And even kids who are 16, 17 years old are not enthused about this election.
Wow. Yeah.
They, so y'all may have a black one. They're like, oh. So that's interesting, right? Because
yeah.
That wasn't like that when Obama was running in 2008.
Yeah.
It was a different thing.
Yeah.
People were like pumped up.
Yeah.
But people are not pumped up.
Yeah.
And I think what we're dealing with is the post-Obama backlash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a lot of folk were disappointed in the long term.
Yeah.
Although Obama did some good stuff. I'm not going to sit there and just say he didn't do anything good at all. But I think a lot of folk were expecting him to be, once again, this black power advocate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, oh, we finally got one of our people in there from the 1970s, that whole, the Black Power concept from the Gary Convention.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case. And he point blank said, out of his mouth, I'm part of this. I'm not an activist. This is not the place you do activism. You can't be a president to be an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even though he came from the activist community as a community organizer.
That's good. That's been debated in certain arenas.
That's been debated, right? But too often people will use the activist community for a larger aim that's not revolutionary or pan-African or any of those things we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? So we really have to look at things. We have to take our power back and say, look, we don't owe you anything. We don't, it's not like that. You don't get my vote because you're black, because you're a woman, because you're gay, because you're straight.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. This is what it is. We have to make sure that we have an agenda, we got certain points. Are you meeting this? You put the numbers down, point check marks. If you're not meeting A, B, and C, guess what?
Yeah.
It's like a job interview. Like, you got to hit certain bullet points.
You mentioned certain times and certain concessions were allotted to the black community. The tenure, for example, Denny Baines Johnson, Lincoln. But but also like on the ground level, those time periods, because a lot of times people look at history like in a subjective sort of way, detaching. Like we look at the uprisings that were occurring during the era, this the Black Power movement in the 60s, the climate. My point is, talk a lot of times that dynamic on the ground is an ingredient for the recipe for certain changes. Concession to come, but it's taken out. Like even Lincoln, the whole dynamic of people on the Civil War, but the uprisings and the rebellions that happened throughout the plantations.
Matt Turner.
That Reverend Matt Turner.
All the things that came out before that led to
that groundswell that set the atmosphere for, for those concessions to be allotted, because in many cases, that's written out of history. Like I was Ferguson, literally during the uprisings with Mike Brown, and one brother came down there. He was talking. He said, "Well, they should have done this. We were down there. It was still hot. The National Guard was still throwing the tear gas canisters."
Mm-hmm.
And the brother said, he said to me, I don't think that the people shouldn't tan or something. And I asked him, I said, who got you down here? He said, well, I never thought about that way. Dr. King himself said that, riots, whatever, issued that term, out of voice was unheard. And certain discussions happen, and certain concessions are given when that groundswell is a different dynamic.
Like George Floyd recently.
The discussion came up the uprising and resistance is happening. Because a lot of times we hear about it, we just think, I'm live on the air right now. Still call in. I'm live on the air. Eddie LeVert, okay, brother, respect, right on. Hey, I look forward to meeting you face to face, brother. Yes, indeed. Man, get my number. Let's do it. I look forward to it. I want to be involved. Please, please, get my direct number. Yes. Give my number. I look forward to it, brother. Love, respect. Right on. Y'all, yeah, brother, love, respect, right on.
Sure.
Yes, indeed. Hey, listen, y'all tune in to radio. Say we live and direct on Free of My Radio.
Call in.
Hey, Sadie. Yeah. Hey, brother, how you feel? Hey, look, y'all calling into our radio, so we on the air right now. Call in to Free of My Radio, man. Hey, you, bro. Yeah, yes. Hey, say, I'm on the air right now towards the election. Y'all call in. I'm on Free of My Radio right now. But let's connect up. I'm all right. We're going to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get a phone number, yup. And look, man, appreciate you, sis. Make sure you call me. I'm on the radio right now. Y'all can tune in. But I got to follow up with you this evening also. All right. Yeah. I'm on the radio right now. Right now. Influence Radio right now. Okay, I got you. We'll follow up. All right, sis. Right on. Free them all. Right on. You never know how it goes. You know what I'm saying? The LeVert, you know, y'all out of these youngsters for y'all time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Eddie LeVert.
Eddie LeVert, okay.
Yeah. I wish I said it right because I'm Drew LeVert's son. I'm cracking with youngsters. Don't know. I'm making sure I know what I'm saying. What I'm talking about. I'm like, I ain't out the loop right here. Yeah. Y'all still here? Oh, man, look at him, man. You can't look at who's just. Blue Nail. Oh, man. Blue Nail just tapped in with us. Can you hear me? She said, bad connection, my friend. Can you hear me now? I had to click over because Eddie LeVert was just calling on other phone, calling directly. Y'all got, Blue Nail, we love you. I missed you in Chicago when you was in Chicago. Can make connection better now? Yes. Hey, those who y'all talk some comedy.
That's another
that's a legendary Lunel. She just tapped in. That's a legendary Lunel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I love her work.
Oh man.
Queens of comedy.
Hey, oh man. I caught on this joke. She came to Chicago one time with big issue. People had called the Chirac, you know, that, you know. And I told them, I said, man, it's a brutal term for a brutal reality. But she said, I came here. She said, we don't like this. Don't call this show. She said, have y'all seen the news lately? I love him, man. I got to throw this back at her too, because she said, you know, one of her biggest regrets. It was last minute call. Judas the Black Messiah. I'm pushing. I said, gotta get Lunel involved with this. So that's the time that we work on another move. And we definitely gotta have one in a series or something.
Yeah.
I got utmost respect for her.
Bring out here.
Yeah. We're talking about this election. Now people ain't talking about it. You know what I'm saying?
What's your take? Because what I'm gathering is folk aren't enthused about it.
Okay, I go with it. You're talking about they're not enthused about it.
Right.
That's why we wasn't expecting. That's a good assessment. And because, you know what I'm saying, in many cases, people have not even, you know what I'm saying, it's like not even acknowledged it. But it is acknowledged. Like, that's a good assessment. It's not they're not enthused about it. And I was going to ask too, but like I said, some of these offices is new, like the school board, you know what I'm saying? That's something that a lot of people are talking about. They're talking about it.
And that's probably more impactful.
More impactful.
Like I said, it's like, you know, the local stuff is probably going to hit us more
Right. He was states? Is there, some other local elections that's buzzing now?
I mean, you know, I mostly know what's going on in Illinois. I just know with,
okay.
with the whole school board issue, you know what I'm saying, and the controversy with Brandon Johnson and the whole school board, that's very relevant. You know?
Okay.
Particularly since we've had, since the last, maybe before last, closed down schools, and that's a very important thing. But I just, what I'm gathering nationwide is that people are really locking in more to their local politics than their national politics at this point.
Because there must be something, let's say in Atlanta, I just seen a little clip of in the conclusion of the court case.
With Young Thug.
Young Thug's father, like I said, his father came on a couple of times, but he made a point about the district attorney,
mm-hmm.
and he had the cap on, and that's something, and it was equivalent to here in Cook County, they have the state's attorney.
Yeah, yeah.
So the state's attorney's race here, in fact, we were expecting Bob Fioretti to call in. You know, so we put out the call, they want to call in, we expect him to call in. And that's it's kind of the state's attorney's office in particular in the Cook County is a hell of a history. In fact, in a retirement speech with present state's attorney, Cook County state's attorney, Kim Fox, I would recommend people who listened to that speech a few months back. And she even talked about the history of it because they were trying to do this whole thing. It was a narrative to say about the case of the Justice Smollett. And she said, she talked about the history of the state's attorney in Chicago, in Cook County in particular, the history of L.V. Hanahan, you know what I'm saying? That marked the history with. He was, and after you know, the state's attorney in many cases is a stepping stone to become mayor. You know, that's a powerful position,
mm-hmm.
And that was the poster child and one of the major players. You know what I'm saying with the raid and assassination on Chairman Fred Dickinson of Mark Clark.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was Mayor Daley's political water boy. He was set to be the mayor coming after Mayor Daley, but that was the first time, like that was in a long time. That in response, because Cook County, which up until recently per capita had the most black people in the county, they had voted a Republican in Kearney. And it really wasn't more pro-Kearney as opposed to pushing state's attorney, Hanahan.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
So the history of Chicago, also with the Democratic Party, is like a long history. And a lot of people have, and it's like this is, it's kind of moving. It's a whole discussion. People talking about, you know, going red.
Daley won, the one who was old Chicago when your father was assassinated. Daley won was a Democrat, right?
Daley Senior.
Daley Senior.
Exactly. He was right. The whole business. The whole work about the machine.
One of the most racist out of the whole.
Excuse me.
Yes, Chicago.
Yes, yes. He was also accredited. The Daley machine was accredited when he was getting Kennedy in office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he was, you know, the machine, the history of how old it was, he was able to, you know, like Congressman Dawson, Charles Dawson,
yeah.
The first black congressman,
mm-hmm.
Who came out, you know, as Lord. But Daley, how he, Machiavellian, he worked the machine, though. Even the religious institution, Dr. King, in fact. When he said he came to Chicago, he had never seen nothing like it. You know, so the race dynamic. And Daley Senior had even worked a number of different preachers to denounce Dr. King. He came to Chicago.
This is a Democrat.
This is
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We got to analyze the history and see that none of these parties really have had our best interest in mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And what happens is, I mean, for example, I think about Phil Coran, the Afro Arts Theater. I think about the Black Panther Party in Chicago. I think about a lot of other progressive organizations that were going on in Chicago in the 60s and 70s that Daley Senior,
mm-hmm.
basically infiltrated and basically tried to disrupt, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Democrats that were doing this,
indeed.
Right? But people often want to blame a Republican. No, it's the same coin, just remixed.
Indeed.
We're not playing politics in an intelligent,
indeed.
Strategic
yes.
way, right?
Yes.
Because we don't analyze the history. You know, Elijah Muhammad said, "What out of all of our subjects, history is the most valuable for all research,
mm-hmm.
right?"
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, that's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, right? So we have to start really looking at the history of our politics in this mm-hmm. country, right, and see how these folks have been playing games with us,
And also, do we have a force to be reckoned with?
Yes, but we don't think we are.
That's right. Right.
We don't think that we're a force. We just allow ourselves to be disrespected.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, even and we allow ourselves to put black faces in front of us to kind of maneuver us, y'all Negroes. Says, no, we're not going for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 2024. We know your history. You know, some of the most racist folk on the planet have been these Democrats, man, or have worked in the name of racism. Daily One was a perfect example of that.
One of the things you think attribute to this emotionalism that the people come in thinking that this you look on an international level, like even with like World War I, World War II, and different like Allied forces and Axis forces, they don't come into this discussion and this elementary assessment, we got to like each other. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A common interest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what do you think some of the dynamics that the black community particularly is deprived of to give this inability to be able to scientifically,
it's our culture. We're not Machiavellian by nature. Let's take it back to European colonization of Africa. Let's take it back all the way to the Portuguese going in and trying to basically trade with African nations.
Please don't down me, Facebook.
I don't think that we really knew or suspected in who we are as a people generally the evil machinations of other folks, right, toward us. I think we are prone to emotionalism. It's a stereotype, but I think it's kind of true, right? But it's not because it's like something that's good about us can also be in certain environments a deficit. The fact that we are the most, the fact that we try to, take folks at face value, and we don't see the underhanded long scheme of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you study Machiavelli, the Prince, if you play the 48 Laws of Power, the whole history of Europe in particular,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. European politics is basically that.
Yes.
Now, I'm not romanticizing African politics to say that there weren't, of course, their own machinations and betrayals as well, right?
Yes.
That's there as well.
Yes.
But I think ultimately our nature is not to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? It's not really about that in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
We allow ourselves to be easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we allow ourselves to be easily manipulated by outside forces that we think are better than us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if this white man comes and tells you, I can offer you A, B, and C, it may be the same thing that a black person we offer to us, because the white man said it automatically feel, that must be better.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we allow someone like a Daley Senior or some other politician to come in and try to basically manipulate our good nature. Now once again, I'm not romanticizing the nature, saying that we're always like this, but I think ultimately we're a people because of where we come from. We believe in communalism. We believe in this idea of trying to, get along. We welcome and like strangers. We like foreigners. We like hospitality toward foreigners. This is going on.
Just a detriment in some time. Yes.
Right. And
yes.
And when I look at the history of, for example, African studies as a discipline was primarily established in the 30s and 40s, after World War II, when European colonizers really trying to get a foothold in Africa,
mm-hmm.
right? They've been there since early as the 1400s, but particularly after World War II, when the kind of borders were kind of being redistributed a little bit after the Second World War, there's this idea of how can we analyze African people to study them to extract resources better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think these people have noticed our nature and have manipulated that nature?
Mm-hmm.
They've noticed that we, are people who are friendly towards strangers.
Yes.
We like shiny things,
yes.
objects, and things that make
yes.
us feel good.
Yes.
You don't think that they've noticed it and analyzed this behavior.
Yes.
You can go to the 1950s, there was a whole, I think it was a documentary or a commercial about how to sell to the Negro.
Yes.
Right? It was a commercial.
How
to sell to the Negro,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that shows they've analyzed the psychology of black folks for a long time
mm-hmm.
and are able to manipulate our vote,
uh-huh.
our goodwill, all those things, and this happens in politics too. We're in a alien culture that we're not used to necessarily how to maneuver in. And we have to kind of change our minds, unfortunately, to a more Machiavellian type of way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for those who don't know, Niccolo Machiavelli wrote a book called The Prince. He was a prince.
Those I lost some of y'all on Facebook for a minute. I'm recharging. Yeah. We still live and direct on Freedom On Radio, on Intellectual Radio, on Instagram. Where you at, brother? Are you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Facebook.
AI Day Amaker is my Facebook tag.
We still rolling. So, don't, man, y'all fill out man, Facebook. Get back in with us.
But I was just saying that, you know, I think that we're in an environment.
Here's
Machiavelli's The Prince. Yeah, that's a book that came out, I think as early as the 12th, the 13th century, I think,
mm-hmm.
right? But Niccolò Machiavelli was a prince in Venice
mm-hmm.
who basically wrote a political treatise on how to be a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And it's particularly, if you look at the book, it's kind of this idea of how to be cutthroat.
Yes.
How to manipulate.
Yes.
How to be feared but respected.
Yes.
And if you compare that, for example, to our classical political treaties like the sayings of Ptahotep
mm-hmm.
from ancient Kemet,
yes.
right, where it's completely opposite
yes.
of that particular type of mindset, right?
Yes.
It just shows you that when Europeans began to interact with us, we had to start changing our whole political paradigm, how we move. Right, and I don't think we completely adapt to that.
No,
right. We're not expecting someone to come to our community to give us these things and then give us those things at a price of
yes.
taking over our land,
yes.
taking over our resources. We
yes.
just think, oh, this person's being nice,
yes.
but no, actually, there's a hidden hand behind that.
Yes,
and so I think this whole context of politics in this
yes.
country, we're still trying to engage in such a political game.
Yes.
That's not our nature to be
not our
engage ourselves in.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Different culture, and it's a subject matter that we're told right not to even speak about. To acknowledge a contradiction, we're told that there would be an antagonistic. So we just even we are to heighten the contradictions, and other people, other communities can. I mean, to say that there's a difference. You know, Sheikh Anta Diop talks to distinguishes. You know, you got to take into account the weather, the condition. I mean, every
cradle theory.
You know, exactly. You know, we can work in harmony with nature. You know, the different gender that the men and women, so on and so forth. But this, and I say, in struggle, we have to be able to do some cold things, but don't want to become a cold people. And it's the balance, like Niccolò Machiavelli, who a lot of my generation came familiarized with Park. Tupac had talked about, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I remember this brother, he had said to me, he said, Chairman, you always talk about the people. He said, there's a piece in the Niccolò Machiavelli. He says, he who builds on the people builds on the mire, the mud. In other words, you can't depend on the people. And I had seen a brother several years later down the road. And I said, man, you forgot to read the next page. And he said, what was that? I see it's for the exception of the prince, and I said the people will roll with the prince because they see that he, weather and storm for them was not a self interest, but that's something that even we point out so many points in just something like we're sold this, especially during times when there's a battle of imperialism, they're fighting amongst each other, we're sold this blanket. The blanket assessment, it's time for us to come together, put our differences. We all, you know, we all Americans. But that dynamic of just that culture, like different dynamic, is something that we can't, that you take into the culture, how you deal with politics, there's the concept of jail, that's foreign to us. There's no concept to us, you know what I'm saying? You know, and it's,
traditionally, that's not, yeah, that was,
that's not,
there were no jails.
No jails.
There's no sense of outcome.
No.
There were other types of punishment.
Yes. And, you know what I'm saying? And to be able to distinct, like, you know, we had, like you said, you know, we never romanticized, but even people, I heard there were slaves in Africa. Nothing, no concept
yeah.
of chattel slavery. You know what I'm saying? The gutting of your humanity is a
exactly.
whole, and one of the setbacks with us is that, you know, I was actually with a brother the other day. He was saying, I said, we can't fathom. He said, what? He said, yes, I can. We can. I said, brother, I'm not, I said, there was a meeting with prison wardens throughout the state of Illinois some years back, I think in the late 80s, early 90s. These prison wardens had got together in Pontiac Prison, and they had redesigned the cells of the prison to be shorter than the average man. Then they came up, they put the prison, you had to go on a visit with a net, like a black net, like an orange, like you carry oranges in, the net, mask over the face, rubber grill over the mouthpiece. I said, but I don't know about you. I just don't can't see us in no meeting. Measuring the cell, thinking long range, how now you're going to see people, the people going to come out, they're not going to be standing up erect no more. The long range, you know what I'm saying, the dynamics, crack, to come out, it's going to be spoiled later that the more melanin you have in your skin, more easily addictive you have. And then we're sold these reactionary logic that, you know, you just somebody get, they're a bad person, or, you know what I'm saying, and someone is actually putting the study in, you know what I'm saying, put someone said, like, you know, said the dynamic, we can't fathom it, you know. And like I said, when you come in with the politics of your word, how we contracts, how we deal with each other, it's a different dynamic, and there's something, and it's not built for us, you know what I'm saying. And we you know, and to acknowledge that, you know, and to be able to recognize his struggle, and it's like the movie Body Snatchers, you know what I'm saying? And being like the arm was something that can even take us this trans, even the race course, because there are those who they have, who have, they've conquered, and they've read, you know, they look like us, you know what I'm saying? It's like there was, the Zoos, it's a policy, culling, call it culling. And actually, ironically, Brookfield Zoo is the place that is really, is real big. I think back in the initiated in Brookfield Zoo, we have a number for all the different animals. And culling, an aggression level, a psychological profile on all animals. And say a silverback gorilla is not docile, is not talent to be, it's not broken. They would, and this silverback gorilla, they have another gorilla, say in London, though the numbers can have to, they would breed those gorillas to make sure that the physical features of it, just like a silverback gorilla, but a certain a gorilla would say with a backbone, you know what I'm saying, that has some fight in it, can never, won't be produced. And they go down and do something, like the wolves, the Mexican wolves, they would take wolves and they would switch the babies, get to take the babies and put them under the more palatable wolves, snatching from the mother, rub the scent, you know what I'm saying? And so you're producing a certain feature, you know what I'm saying? They show the wolves are confused, like, this looks like my baby, but this is not the nature,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so as a people, to produce, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is something that they know, I mean, to breed athletes and, you know what I'm saying, to get entertainers, the dynamic of it, but not, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I tell people with the Black Panther Party, they create organizations, you know what I'm saying? They create individuals. They say, we want this, but don't want this, you know what I'm saying? And again, we can't fathom it, you know what I'm saying? And it had to be, and I tell people, you look at different movies, they walk in, they ask the police coming to Rome, they would ask the woman, do you have any children? That's not a question. That's a statement tapping into that maternal, that maternal core, you know what I'm saying, a connection, you know what I'm saying? And they exploit these. These are dynamics that we have. But they, I mean, how to, you know what I'm saying, to make anything an antagonistic contradiction. This is as opposed to when she got the idea of where we come from, this system, one comes at the expense of another. You know, if you've been a successful warden, people have to be in prison. You know, you're a successful dope dealer, people have to have habits. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The take stuff, because like, it doesn't create nothing. You know what I'm saying? It takes exploits. You know what I'm saying? And it corrupts. It's like the coca leaf in Afghanistan, which is something natural. You can see people walking in with the plants, they chewing a coca leaf. This system to take it and put the chemicals on it, you know what I'm saying, with the crack, to take any different natural organization. You know what I'm saying? They don't, you got these youngsters talking about hollering gang, but it takes something that's natural, it's tribes and organization, to take that dynamic and corrupt it in any arena. You know, the old saying goes, whatever black folks will, two nickels together make a dime, white folks make it a crime. any phenomena, and what is something we always miss, any that we negate that there's an attack on us. You know, you'll say, we just come together, we stick together. We have done this in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have done this, you know, sticking together. I mean, we was bound for the sticking together.
Mm-hmm.
But this, as soon as they see it, it needs that. You know what I'm saying? It has to conquer us. You know what I'm saying? To kill us one way or another, physically. You know what I'm saying? To take that self-determination away from us. And, you know, and we don't understand that. We come in.
See, this is why Butchkin history is so important, because we've been analyzed by Europeans from as early as the 15th century with the whole age of exploration, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when the Portuguese started to come into West Africa, down to Mauritania, to the Bight of Benin, they were analyzing and taking note on us even before the transatlantic slave trade importing us over there. They were kind of observing, right? Now you go to the plantation, and they start really observing our behavior and experimenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of you talk about this idea of, you talk about the gorillas and how they were doing things in the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's the same thing that they were doing to us on the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
I was just watching a documentary that for generations, they wouldn't send actual doctors to plantations to treat the slaves. They would send veterinarians.
Goodbye, Uncle Tom?
Yeah.
Recommend everyone, please.
People, they were like, you know, people that you would send for dogs,
yes,
and horses, they were sending on us.
Yes.
Right? So there's always been this manipulation of black people as if we're like animals that should be genetically modified.
Yes.
You see, they're also now they're genetically modifying our food.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This has been in their minds for generations.
Mm-hmm.
They've been studying us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you before, I'm an African studies, but, you know, African studies in particular, you know, the origin of that is white people who are basically trying to better colonize and understand the Negro.
Yeah.
Even the religion that we practice, Ifa, which is from the Yoruba people of southwestern Nigeria, you know, some of the first people to write about it and the first people to really analyze it were Europeans trying to study, you know, what is this about voodoo? What is this about Ifa? What is this about these different African religions? What is this about the Dogon of Bali? And how are they able to track the Sirius B without using a microscope?
Yeah.
How are they able to find out these things about the creation of the universe that is so accurate?
Yes.
Right, without a microscope, right?
Yes.
They're just analyzing and continue analyzing to this day,
yes,
but analyzing this for manipulation.
Yes.
For better manipulation,
yes,
for better strategic pushing us out,
yes,
gradually.
Yes.
So this is what I'm saying. We have to be very conscious, once again, back to our politics.
Yes.
There's a game behind the game.
Yes.
And we have to be aware of it. And they will put people who look like you and I,
mm-hmm,
in front of us,
mm-hmm,
right, to continue this mechanization of manipulation and modifying. Because someone like Obama or Harris says, okay, eat this product, you know, but they're getting backed by some of these companies who are doing this GMO, genetically modified, mm-hmm, stuff, right? But they're getting paid by them, you know. But yeah, they're black. They'll sit to eat it, and we're going to sit and eat it. Oh, yeah, because we're emotional.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we eat it. Because, once again, our, like I said before, what's good about us is also not
racist. Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, yeah, so we have to, I think we're at a time where we're starting to wake up. I think young people in particular, those who are below Generation X, I should really see the game for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that a lot of these young people I'm seeing are not enthused about what's going on right now,
yeah,
with politics.
Yeah.
They're like, man, I'm not feeling advocacy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
So it's, we gotta wake up. We gotta be conscious. We have to read Giap.
Yeah.
We gotta read Yorugu.
Yeah.
And Marimba Ani.
Yes.
Right? We gotta really look at what this is. We have to look at, we don't know enough about who we are, who we've been as a people,
mm-hmm,
and our mentality and our nature,
mm-hmm,
which Rimbarani calls the Asili in her book Yorugu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very popular book in the 1990s. It basically is the book Yorugu by Rimbarani is a book that basically talks about a critique of European cultural thought and behavior from an African-centered perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Rimbarani, also with Donna Richards, she worked with Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the South. She also was able to get a PhD in anthropology at University of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a PhD at University of Chicago, she began to realize the white supremacy.
Mm. Well, sure she did.
About the University of Chicago, right?
And that really inspired me
to say, look, you know, I need to kind of look at what I've been learning and critique it from an African-centered perspective.
They got a history treating us like land grants up in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of what we're talking about comes out of University of Chicago, right? Comes out of academia, right? You know, so even Black Studies departments right now, like, you know, the whole purpose of Black Studies from the 1960s perspective, right, was to kind of put this kind of revolutionary fervor in the mass of people and to have them know about their history and their culture. But these major universities have co-opted it, right, and they've taken it, they've watered it down, and they're really using it to kind of study Negroes. You know, to get us to do certain things, And they even put these prominent Black scholars, you know what I'm saying, come in front of us. They're really trying to manipulate us. So a lot of what happens in this country, the masses, the grassroots created, and then the powers that be manipulated for their own Machiavellian or Eurugian interests. What it says to continue our destruction, because it's all part of the Maafa. Maafa is a key Swahili word that means destruction. That Dr. Rabbi came up with, the scholar I'm talking about, the Yoruba.
You mentioned the youngsters, the 15, 16 years, how they're not. They're not sipping the snake oil.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't sell them anything. And one dynamic, you know, saying is a necessary ingredient with that. You know, most cases it's in a reactionary way, but that's something that should be noted. That because a lot of times what's sold to us is they embrace a generation over you and say, well, just follow this lead. You know, don't challenge. Don't question mama or daddy. You know, don't question. Go along. This is sold to you. And I mentioned before, that was how we look at it, that was we're not talking about like during the 60s. You had a generation, and this is like even, I'm kind of hesitant, I'm using the term the great migration, because sometimes it kind of just seems just up, you know, we just decide to come up north, negating a lot of our uncles and mothers, aunties and the land was stole, raped, fought, you know what I'm saying, to leave them down south too, you know. But so people really wanted to settle up north. And so you had a generation coming up, you know, saying, man, we love you, mom and daddy, but we ain't know what that white Jesus on the wall, you know what I'm saying. And that's something that's because we're sold a thing like, don't challenge, don't, you know what I'm saying, don't disagree, you know. And but right now, these youngsters, they're not going for it, you know, and this is prime time to, because the pores are open also, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, because it's pros and cons there, because it could be reactionary, which is a lot of times people would say, no, this could be against this structure, don't mean that we just want for no structure, you know what I'm saying, we need a position. We had a people's convention we convened this past December. I said, well, we all get tired of running around with the donkey and the elephant. Come on, see what the Black Panther talking about. You know what I'm saying? And it's prime time, like I said, to arm us with a politic, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times we're told, well, we don't got nothing. In other communities, you know what I'm saying? We have a history, you know what I'm saying? And we got, you know, we like the last call for alcohol. I've seen all these different, you know, say they tried this, tried that, and respectfully say, you know, to your parents, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I love you, you know, like, man, you just can't pass this down to me.
Yeah.
You know, go along, you know, saying there's a lot of connotations in place also, you know, and being, you know, I think it's Harriet Tubman, that's so strong by her husband, made her move and come on back, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you can't, you know, and that's, even someone in the Civil War, they say, it was, you know, biological brother challenging his biological brother. They're there to combat their liberalism. Say, you know, say, hey, hold on. This is, man, it was a time, Malcolm X gave his knowledge, I think it was a 14, 15-year-old in China. 14, 15-year-old young lady in China, young girl. She had a 45 on her father's head. She said, why are you doing that? She said, he betrayed the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed. You know what I'm saying? That's a hard discussion to have. You know, that's a hard discussion to have. to be able to come to grips with that, because again, they'll pass down this. They're, you run a plantation, you know, they're coming, break one generation, say, okay, before you know it. In prisons, they would open up a new prison. They would bring some of the individuals that worked with their program. They would get people with documented rapists, documented cooperators, put them in there. I watched it. They open up a new prison to have them there. And the youngsters were going, and they would start, they don't read the orientation manual. They would pick up, this is their first time, they would start doing certain activities. I said, whoa, Buster, where you get that from? Oh, I said, no, that ain't cool. You know what I'm saying? That's how they break generations, you know what I'm saying? So we had to be able to challenge them, Sometimes I can be respectful, you know what I'm saying? And I had a discussion recently. You know, brothers called me, said, man, he said, I know you be going through a lot of struggles, different people trying to hijack the legacy of Black Panther Party, so on and so forth. He said, man, don't let them elders sad you. He said, you stick hold the past, brother. It's not just no elders. I say, it's some youngsters. I say, these contradictions transcend generations. You know what I'm saying? And we have to heighten those contradictions, like, you know what I'm saying, because there are some casualties of us, so that's what we romanticize it. You know, just, you know, say we have casualties too. You know what I'm saying? We have to be clear of that. And as you know, I got family members. You know, I said the movie Godfather, Fredo's. I got Uncle Fredo's. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And we have to be clear on that. You know, and that's something a lot of us want to pick and choose. I said, no, man, you, it's fertilizer, but it's some shit out here too, man.
It's sad that we live in this day and age. Well, it's been like this since the dawn of time, but sometimes you can't trust your family members.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you think people who, you know, will have your same blood and folks automatically are loyal to you, and it's not always like that. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just can't trust your family members. I mean, you would think that people who have your same blood automatically have your back, but sometimes you're your own biological children or your own biological mother, father, brother, sister, uncle. They'd be the main ones could set you out.
That's a difficult discussion.
That's difficult. But yeah, that's been going on since the first time. That's not anything that's new, right?
Yeah.
That was going on in Africa, going on in Asia, all over, right? So, you know, when we talk about these things, I don't want us to think that we come from a culture that's always been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was perfect, the slave trade wouldn't have been able to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Because at the end of the day, you know, African chiefs were manipulated into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain essentials to being an African.
Yes, yes.
And focus on family and community is number one.
Yes.
Right? If you look at, there are certain trends throughout the African continent and the African diaspora that are consistent.
I got to jump in, right?
It's kinship. Like, for example, you know, I see you my brother. You may not be my biological brother,
yes,
but you my brother, right?
Yes.
Or this is my son. It's fictive kinship that goes back, that we always have had, you know what I'm saying? And also this idea that spirit is important. We're spiritual people.
Yes.
I think you had mentioned one of the mistakes the Black Panther Party made. I think what Delane Brown or Captain Cleaver said, that, you know, we should have been focused on the spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus so much on the Marxist idea of, you know, this scientific materialism.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get into the fact that, you know, we're spiritual people.
Yeah.
And Black folk like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You need to kind of hit that part of them, right? If you're trying to move the people.
Now, here's my take on that. I'm getting two points. One, I had this dialogue with the other day, and I was saying, we're told that we're not, we're not a monotonous people. I'm saying, right, monotonous, like one, monopoly, what is the word I'm looking for?
Yeah,
who, what is it? Monolithic people. I say, I agree with that. I say, I am with that. There are certain constants with the Black community. Because this vague that people try to play on us all the time. I say, no, don't y'all say that. There are certain things that, you know, in the Irish community or the Mexican community, there are certain things that are consistent with the Black community. And I'm with you too on the second point. I think also a lot of, because I was speaking one time, and a brother, before he introduced me, he said, I know he's listening too. He said, I know the chairman don't believe, chairman not very religious, and I spoke. I said, well, let me be very clear. I say, I'm very, I see, it's things that I, when I was, particularly when I was locked up, I cannot scientifically explain. And I've been praying on a battlefield when I'm out there getting down. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times that, the dynamic of culture, there's a misnomer with revolutionary, something that does not acknowledge. But one brother in my defense, he said in prison, he said, no, a chairman brings a football to a football field. You know what I'm saying? And also there were some people that their contradictions early on before even becoming in the Black Panther Party or any revolutionary organization, it heightened to the point, and it was there all the time. I said, you got to keep it like that. I have some forces, you know what I'm saying, that brought, we all come on our baggage. And sometimes some things are taken as a party line, which is individual, you know what I'm saying? The structure is able to, like, some is magnified, some forces issues, say, I don't take for granted all women, Black women, have seen a Black man, vice versa, you know what I'm saying? All, they made sense of, some of our reactionary forces who are people, they make a joke when the big one, one day, he said, man, you don't respect Black women. And he said, what you mean? He said, I got 8 kids. And other guys say, I know all their mothers. You really ain't never had no Black woman. You know what I'm saying? And the price, when you heighten the contradictions, a lot of times movers are getting, it's language to women. That's not the party line. That's the individual. They don't, And to be able to say, you know, so I think a lot of times, I know what I'm really organizing. People, a lot of people don't think that. You know, so they say, damn, Chad, I didn't know. We just came back with the Dakotas and the indigenous community. And when the natives are sick, and he said, Chad, what are you be saying? He said, what you eat, you know what I'm saying? And the African pledge. I see, you know what I'm saying, for our movement, I'm very spiritual. But the deal is, it's something that, like a lot of people, they can't hear it either, though. You know what I'm saying? It'd be right there, it'd be premature. They go back like in the music industry. It's the people who've been saying this. A brother out of Chicago, he does security. For years, he's been talking about different contradictions in the music industry. But now people can hear it. You know what I'm saying? If people say, why nobody's never talked about this, so on and so forth. You say, no. And like, the writing was on the wall. You know what I'm saying? But the timing, all that has to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's some. Like Tupac, Pac was saying, and you could see him like fighting to articulate certain things, you know what I'm saying? But the people said, well, no, he didn't say that. He said, no, like that movie, A Few Good Men, can't handle the truth. So a lot of times people, because it's not said to them, I recall growing up, people say, man, you know, so you like a Muslim? You know what I'm saying? And there's no Islam, but they couldn't even fathom. You know what I'm saying? Because the context was given to this. In fact, I'm going to close out a minute. We're going to close out. We said this is a series, OGs, Original Gentlemen. And first doing the commercial, me and the brother was laughing because it's a phenomenal piece. I recommend everybody check it out. But you got people from all different walks of life. You got Minister Rico, you got Bishop Don Juan, you got OG Swan, you got different, all, you know what I'm saying? The chairman prayer is a revolutionary. A lot of people, you know, they were like, well, okay, what is it? The sister from Haiti said to me one time, she said, I don't really get you. She said, you read books? Then I see you, you know, say you're on the streets, you can deal with different cats. What are you, a political thug? You know, you know what I'm saying? And so it's certain things that now she looked back and went, she said, now I can see that. So a lot of things that the climate, people, you know, it was a conducive, you know, say they could, because certain conventional definitions were given. Yeah. This is what it is. That's what even change does. That's what we have a climate where, you know, say like, you know, come up out of the stereotypes. So this is a man, this is a woman. Even the love of our people. Some people get that twisted. Like, you're a pushover. Say, don't get it twisted now. You know what I'm saying? You know. CeeLo Green, he made a joke one time. He said they be after the concert, they be talking, and so he talking to some sister, they didn't even hang out. She said, "Oh, you are so deep, brother." Damn. And he said, "No, I still was trying to talk to you." So, yeah. what the mindset was, there was no frame of reference of like a brain and a brawn. The brain is supposed to be brawn, and that like it was like the spirituality. It's, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times it's there. You know what I'm saying? But people don't, it's not given to them in the conventional definition.
Here's the thing. Traditionally, we as African people, and let me talk about the context of Ifa and Yoruba.
Please.
It's like spirituality is everything that you are.
Mm.
You know, it's something that you incorporate in your whole life, in your whole culture. It's how you name yourself, what your name means, how you walk, how you talk, how you create clothes,
mm.
how you create fabric,
mm-hmm.
your language,
yes.
right? What you eat, what you don't eat. See, but what happens is with Islam and Christianity in particular, the mindset shifts from the African perspective of like this indigenous approach to religion where it's everything that you do and it's just a separated, it's something that's only done here at this place
mm-hmm.
or done at this time of day or done over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lifestyle. It's
yeah.
not exactly, it doesn't determine, you know, necessarily, you know, how you dress and other type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, you know, your spirituality shows in how you interact in nature and existence,
yeah.
how you interact with people,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's what shows your true spirituality, not necessarily where you worship at. Because as we say, Ifa, you know, character is worship, right?
Yeah.
Ifa lesson, right? So how you interact with people daily
yeah.
is spiritual. Some of the most spiritual people I've ever met in my life, folks who never went to church one day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
some of those
yeah.
moral people.
Yeah.
You know, they never went to a mosque, they went to a church.
Yeah.
You know, but their whole energy exudes that.
Yeah.
And that is very African. That's our culture.
Yes.
And that's consistent with our traditional indigenous cultures in Africa, Native America, Asia, right?
Yeah.
And right now we're entering an age with some astrologers call the Age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving back into indigenous religions. Indigenous nature-based religions,
yes.
right? So this is why I think you're seeing a lot of folk now who are leaving church and leaving the mosque, and they're trying to really research and search for them. What were my ancestors doing? You know what I'm saying? I think these answers are being found in these nature-based religions, you know, like Ifa, like traditional Native American cultures,
yes.
traditional Asian cultures, because those are spiritual practices that incorporate every aspect of your life.
Mm.
Right, at all aspects of how you speak, what you say, what you don't say, your whole character trait, all that is part of the spiritual shopping.
Unfortunately, we're going to come out, y'all. This is a special episode. We want to thank International Radio. We're going to, y'all, turn back. Brother, you got to come back with us.
I appreciate this. Yes,
we appreciate you. This is important to
surprise.
Hey, yes, indeed. So we're going to, y'all, try back in with us, y'all. We definitely going to look forward to this Wednesday because there's going to be opportunities. So, I'm going to start with some.
Can I leave my contact information?
Please, please, bro.
So if folks want to reach out to me, they can email me at ADEART7@hotmail.com. ADEART7@hotmail.com. You can also check me out on Facebook. My full name is Arthur Ade Amaker, but I go on Facebook A Ade Amaker. So A, first initial, then ADE. AMAKER. Reach out to me on Facebook, on Instagram. I'm an Amaker Consulting as well. So I'm available for any teacher talks or things that deal with African spirituality, that deal with politics and consulting. I'm an education consultant and professor by trade. That's my day job.
We're going to be doing some work with you, brother. Real talk. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir.
Y'all keep your hands up, eyes open, and fists clenched. Y'all, spirit of making history, taking history, and taking history, y'all.
Yes, sir. Free them all.
Free them all. Yes, indeed.
I said if you
want to
keep going in the other room,
you can. I think we hit it. We'll be back, though.
Sure.
Man.
Yeah, so I originally just contacted you about meeting this Baba, but, you know, it turns out we had a nice
interview. Man, brother. My
man.
It's my best moves, and not been, you know what I'm saying? It's not been planned out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to the Happy House, too, real quick.
Yes, sir. And want to bring you somebody. I didn't mention. Well, we're not live,
right? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mention the institutions that I'm working at because, you know, When I speak off record, I want to make sure.
Okay.
I'm a professor.
I got you. And Wanda, thank y'all as always.